Can you see my computer, Logan?
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. All right. So apparently, I guess when I'm asking Logan questions, right when the theme music's starting, I was on a hot mic there, right, Logan? All right. Well, sorry. I was asking if you could see my computer screen for TV. Can you see that, Logan? No, it's not a black screen. That's why I was wondering. No, I need to close NDI and open it back up. All right. Let me do that real quick because I want to tell you guys. I got a big announcement. I announced this. We're going to do Jesuits Part 3 here in a minute. But I made this announcement last night on television, and I'm going to make it here now. And I was shocked at the response we got last night with just the first announcement. All right, I reopened NDI, Logan. And I'm hoping that you guys are going to be as excited about this as the people were last night. Let me know when you see that, Logan, please. We are now announcing here on radio, 58 terrestrial blowtorch stations of VCY America, what we announced last night on WVW-TV and Lindell TV, and that is on November 11th, I have four retired FBI agents that are coming to town. I've been working on this for months. As you know, I built a friendship with two retired FBI agents, David Baldovin and Terry Turchi. Terry Turchi is the former Deputy Assistant Director of the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI. He worked up on the seventh floor. He daily briefed the FBI Director at the time, Louis Free. He wrote the book, as many of you know, I'm sure many of you have ordered it, In Their Own Words, subtitled something regarding the Democrat Party and their Marxist push, or their the Democrat Party and their Marxist agenda that they're pushing on America, something like that. What, Logan? So, what's that? Oh yeah, what was it called? Communist America. Yeah, Democrat Party and their push toward a communist America or something like that. So that's the name of the book that he wrote, Terry Turchi, and he goes into the Weather Underground, Bill Ayers, all those guys, right? But as I built a friendship with Terry Turchi and David Baldovin, both retired FBI, there are other FBI agents that have been watching. And now we have two more that want to come forward. These guys have very distinguished careers. Terry Turchi was involved in the search warrant and the arrest at the cabin of the Unabomber. He was involved in the investigation of the bombing of the USS Cole. These other guys have incredible bios as well, and some of the cases they worked, you would know them. They're historic cases. These four men, with their very distinguished career, rising high in the Bureau, are very distressed about what is happening to the Bureau and what is happening to America. So over the last several months, we have been working to bring them together for a town hall. November 11th, all four of these men will be with us live in person. Now, you need to understand, these guys are all retired. They live very comfortable, retired lives. They like to do things, hike, fish, all kinds of stuff. These guys hunt. They have all kinds of hobbies that they love to enjoy and be involved in. Many of them have grandkids that they could go enjoy. And yet, here they are going to step into this controversy. And you have to understand that when they do this, they are going to get, and they already are, getting criticism from other retired FBI agents. Some of them who have been apparently brainwashed by maybe their own kids, by their friends, their spouse, whoever. Maybe these people were never political conservatives, but they checked their politics at the door, which was fine. You didn't have to be a Republican or a conservative to be an FBI agent. You just had to follow the rule of law and check your politics at the door. So maybe these people are already leaning to the left, but they didn't let that impact their job. But some of them have been very critical of David Baldovin, as he's talked about on our TV show, on a public forum. In fact, he got kicked off of a Facebook forum made up of retired FBI. because of the things he was saying a few years ago. So when these guys do this, they are inviting attacks. They're inviting criticism. They're inviting controversy. And they could say, you know what? I've did my time. I served my country. I'm out. That's for a younger and another generation. But these guys believe that when they took the oath to defend the United States Constitution from enemies both foreign and domestic, that it did not come with an expiration date. This will be a very historic day. And it is going to be November 11th. And we are filming it here in Collierville. And we have rented, if Logan, can they see my screen now, buddy? Thank you. Here's the screen. You can see it. I'm going to give you the URL. Logan's going to put the URL underneath the lower corner of the TV screen for those watching my TV. But I'll give it to you for those listening by radio so you can get a pen. It'll be November 11th, and we'll start filming at 1 o'clock. So I won't be doing radio that day. We'll run a best of that day. But we'll start filming at 1 o'clock, and we will film 4 one-hour shows. We'll have a 15-minute break in between each one-hour filming of this town hall. We have 358 seats in this beautiful theater here in Collierville, a suburb of Memphis, Tennessee. Last night I mentioned it, and within a matter of 2 hours, we sold a lot of tickets. Here's what I'm saying to those of you that want to drive here, and maybe some of you want to fly. I know people flying from Florida. But, you know, we're only 5 hours from St. Louis. We are 4 hours from Jackson, Mississippi. We're 3 hours from Memphis, Tennessee. We are 8 hours from Dallas, Texas. We're about 9 hours from Milwaukee. You know, it's a good day's drive, particularly if you have two drivers. So a lot of you in the Wisconsin market, you can drive down, and it'll be warmer down here than it will be in your town that time of year. And you can enjoy Memphis, and Memphis has a lot to offer. We have the Bass Pro Shop, which is in itself amazing, and built in the pyramid. And we have all kinds of other historic things here, of course. And you can enjoy a day or so in the Mid-South, you know, enjoy our fine food, some great Southern barbecue, whatever else you want to do. But what I'm basically saying is, it's worth the drive. I don't know that you will ever again see four FBI agents of this caliber together giving the historical warning that they're going to give. Now, we will film it. It will not be live streamed. We will not live stream it, but we will have our entire film crew there. It will be film broadcast quality, and we will produce it into 4 one-hour TV specials. So even if you cannot attend in person, you will get to see it, okay? You will get to see it. But you should want to be here. And I'm sure many of you do want to be here, but your job or whatever health, age, limitations on travel makes that impossible. So you're not going to miss out. We'll make sure that you get to see it. But if you can make it here, be here. We'd love to have you here with us. I'd love to meet some of you, get a chance to meet some of you at our annual Ozarks conference as we did last week or a week and a half ago. But we'd love to have you here with us. So it's going to be at the Harrell Theater, 440 West Poplar or West Powell Road in Collierville. And you'll see if you go to this website, the website is, you ready to take this down, folks listening by radio? It's on the screen for TV. The website is WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVWTVfilming.eventbrite.com. So WVWTVfilming.eventbrite.com. Okay, that's the URL. I'll give it again. WVWTVfilming.eventbrite.com. And Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E. Eventbrite. EventBrite.com. Now, don't register and get a ticket if you're not really going to show up. The tickets are $1. Ooh, hope it doesn't break the bank. The tickets are $1. Now, they are $1.70 in processing fee. That's from Eventbrite, not us. They have a processing fee. And so the total ticket price is $2.70. Now, why are we doing that? Because we don't want the liberals to come on here and take up free tickets as they've done at other rallies and say, oh, it's sold out, and we don't know who got them. Is that a bunch of liberals that never plan on showing up? We also want to know who's there. So we want to have your name. We want you verifying you are who you are by using a credit card. So we want to vet who you are. We want to know you're coming. So it's for security reasons and so that we actually have seats reserved for those that really want to attend. And it's a sad day that that's the way it has to be, but that's the way it has to be. So there, the ticket, we won't be making any money. By the time we pay sales tax on that $1, you know, we're not making money. We've got to rent the building, pay the film crew, which means Logan. Logan gets paid, folks. Those of you who think I'm making the boy work for free, he gets paid. So I got to pay Logan. I got to pay Reagan. I'm going to have to probably bring in at least one other guy. We may even bring in our swinging boom guy from Missouri, who's been with me for 17 years. So we have a swinging boom running across the room as we do in the Ozarks. And then we're going to pay for the airfare, the hotel, and give an honorarium to the guys because, and that was my idea. I think they would have showed up for free. But I believe a workman is worthy of his hire. And I believe these gentlemen deserve to be compensated for their efforts. So we try to be very fair with people and our speakers. We're not like a lot of organizations that have someone, or some of these churches, I hear how they treat some of my speakers and they show up and minister and they hand them $100, you know, a check for $150. And, you know, I told one of my friends the other day, some of these small churches have pretty good little bank accounts because they have a lot of people that have given for a lot of years and have died and left their estate. And there are other churches that struggle. They struggle. But then there are others, and I find out later about some of these small churches and how they do financially quite well than how they treat some of my speakers, and I don't like that. It's wrong. So we've never done that. We've always tried to err on the side of being generous, and I don't think you can err on the side of being generous. So we're going to pay them a little something for their time, cover their travel there and their lodging, and rent the theater. That'll be $800 plus our film crew. So we're not making money, obviously, selling the tickets for a dollar. So that's simply to vet who you are and make sure you're real and really going to be there. There is only 358 seats. I'm also talking to the city about having a food truck there. So during the breaks, if they don't have concessions, and maybe they do, that's why I've already contacted them today, see about concessions. If they don't have concessions, then you can walk out to a food truck and get a little snack or something. Because, you know, from 1 to 6, that's 5 hours. You're probably going to want to get a little something, right? I'll let you know about that. Worst case, you could pack a cooler and have a little something in the car and go out, because we'll have a 15-minute break in between each 1 hour filming. But this is going to be very historic, and I hope many of you will show up, and I hope you'll spread the word. Now, if you cannot attend, here's what I would ask you to do, aside from praying for us and for safety and everything else, weather and all the guys to be in good health. But go and grab that URL and do me a favor, will you? Tweet it, text it, email, Facebook, call your friends. Tell them that WVW-TV, and we're going to be working, and we've invited Lindell TV to work with us as well. So, which means I just invited myself. So I invited Mike, I invited Mike to join us and Lindell TV that we run every day. So we invited ourselves to work with WVW-TV. So it's going to be a joint project. We're going to use my network, VCY, and we'll use Lindell TV to get out this public service of interviewing these retired FBI agents that are warning about the Marxists taking over the Department of Justice. Then they're taking away the neutrality of the FBI to use as a political tool against Christians and conservatives. I'm going to tell you what you can do when we come back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. And I just saw my face pop on that monitor over there before we came back for radio. So just so those of you watching by television, you noticed my hesitation for about 5 seconds. That's because television comes back before the radio comes back. So I'm waiting on the radio to come back in my ear. We'll try to time that better. So here's what I need you to do. If you cannot attend the November event with the four retired FBI agents warning about the Marxist revolution taking over America... Hey, babe, can I get some coffee, please? Thank you, hon. All right, so what I need you to do is text, tweet, email, Facebook this URL. If you know people that live within a five-hour radius, say, hey, look, WVW-TV, Lindell TV, they're going to be sponsoring this historic event with four retired FBI agents, some of them high-ranking, working up on the seventh floor at one time. Again, Terry Turchie, former assistant deputy director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI. And you guys should consider going and being a part of it. So help us get out the word to the folks in the Mid-South. So take a look at the map of Memphis and think, hey, do I know people that live within a four-hour drive? So if you do, put it all over social media. The URL again is wvwtvfilming.eventbrite.com. Now, if I did this in Milwaukee, we would fill this thing up. I mean, obviously, we would fill this up. We could fill this up four times if we did this in Milwaukee. But to be honest with you, I keep a pretty low profile here in Memphis, okay? So I need your help getting out the word. You know, there's a lot of folks in the Memphis area don't even know that we're here. And that has largely been by design. We really do keep a low profile. So I don't have some huge database to tap into in the Mid-South because I've not done much in the Mid-South, and that's been largely by design. We've gone where our radio networks are, where our radio stations are. And so if we were to do this in Milwaukee, this would fill up in one day. But I do need your help making sure this is filled up, because if this works, folks, I want to do this about every other month, you know, several times a year at least. I'd like to bring in some big names, big guys, big events. They may not be big names in that you know them, but they're going to be like these guys. They're big historic figures in society. And you're going to learn about how historic some of these guys are in their bios. But I'd like to do this several times a year with live town halls. There's something about a live town hall and a live audience that makes for television production to be amazing. So, and I think it also really encourages the people being filmed. I have sat and done TV in this studio without a live audience, and it's been good. But let me tell you something. As a TV producer and director, when I get a live audience and they're hooping and hollering and giving a standing ovation to the speaker, you know what that does? That makes them open up. That makes them talk more. That emboldens them. That encourages them. That bolsters them. And without you, I don't get as good an interview as I would otherwise get. I get good interviews, but I can get great interviews when there is a room full of people that are thanking them, appreciating them, encouraging them, cheering them on. The more you cheer, the more you support, the more they talk, the more they tell. And when it's done, you're like, wow. So there's a big difference between interviewing someone in a studio where there's no audience and where there is a full house. It makes all the difference in the world. So I want to do this several times a year. So help us make this a success. WVWTVfilming.eventbrite.com. Bright is B-R-I-T-E. All right? It's going to be a big, big deal. But don't be discouraged. Even if you can't make it, you're gonna get to see it. A young lady named Tony just emailed me and said, you know, I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to drive 10 hours. She wants to make sure she's going to get in. If she has a ticket, she's getting in. All right? But don't get a ticket if you don't really plan on coming. You know, that's another reason why it's a dollar. And then the $1.70 for processing. But and if you do buy one and then you can't make it, please email us back and say, hey, I bought three tickets. I'm not going to be able to make it, so that we can keep a good tally and make sure we have every seat filled, because there's going to be a lot of people that want to attend this. All right. Thank you for your indulgence in mentioning this very, very historic event. And we're going to be doing more of this. All right. Let's talk about the Jesuits part three. The Jesuits part three. Let's do a quick review. This is what we finished up with yesterday. The Jesuits' main focus, eight things. Number one we looked at was ecumenicalism. Two, social justice / liberation theology. Three, dominion theology, meaning they want to dominate the world with their religion. And the religion of the Jesuits is, of course, Marxism. social justice, liberation theology, all different names, globalism. Number four, politics, community organizing, and revolution. Five is education. Six is the press. Seven, they concentrate on pulpit and denominations. And eight, mysticism. Now, this brought us where we stopped yesterday. Let's deal with these one at a time, these eight segments for the Jesuits, and then we'll open the phone lines. Ecumenicalism. We described what ecumenicalism was. That's basically the idea of syncretism, different religions coming together, Christianity and Islam for Chrislam, Marxism and Christianity coming together for what is then liberation theology. You know, this is ecumenicalism, blending together different faiths or religious beliefs, Christianity and the New Age movement. And again, I reminded you that the father of the New Age movement is Teilhard de Chardin, a Jesuit priest. A Jesuit priest was the father of the New Age movement. So that's ecumenicalism. Look at what Time Magazine, remember Time Magazine did an April 1973 cover story on the Jesuits. Here's what they wrote. Contemporary Jesuit theologians, for instance, helped shape the Second Vatican Council. Let me just stop right there. Remember the clips I played over the last several weeks of Archbishop, Catholic Archbishop Vigano. What has he said? He's talked about the Vatican Council too, the Jesuits and the Vatican Council too. Why is the Vatican Council II so dangerous? I've been explaining. If you didn't catch it, don't remember. It lowered the walls of the Catholic Church to allow them now to allow others in and then for their people to go into other religions, which again is why you see the Catholic Church taking on the flavor of whatever country they're in. India, Cuba, whatever nation they're in, they take on the form of the dominant religion of that world. So of that nation. So if you're in India, you're going to start having more of a Hindu concept coming into Catholicism. America's Catholic churches are very much Americanized to fit our Judeo-Christian history and culture. Ron Carlson used to tell me all the time, the Catholic Church in America does not represent what that religion looks like in the other parts of the world. This was largely done through the Vatican Council II and the Jesuits lowering the walls and saying, we want to go into the other religions. We want to dialogue with them. We want to have interfaith dialogue with them so we can turn them back to Rome. But they're not just turning them back to Rome. They're turning them back to a form of Catholicism that traditional Catholics, like Archbishop Vigano, the late Jesuit, Malachi Martin, who wrote the New York Times bestsellers, who said, I cannot stomach this, and gave up his service and moved to New York and started writing books telling us what was coming. He predicted the Marxist Pope, Pope Francis. So there are a lot of traditional Catholics that do not believe the last few popes were legitimate popes. Archbishop Vigano will not even call him Pope Francis. He calls him Bergoglio, his given name. And so to do this, though, the Jesuits wanted to lower the walls of the Catholic Church and have an interfaith ecumenicalism that would bring converts and turn people back to the new Rome run by the Jesuits that include this dominionism and includes this globalism and includes Marxism, among other things. Includes mysticism. Don't forget the guy that took the Jesuits to the higher level, Ignatius of Loyola, was big into mysticism. And he was big into the worship of Mary. Okay? So this is why even Time Magazine is saying, back to the slide, contemporary Jesuit theologians, for instance, helped shape Second Vatican Council. The Second Vatican Council was held, as we've been telling you the last few days, from 1962 to 1965, and was instrumental in propelling the ecumenical movement. And there, for those watching by television, is a picture of the second session of Vatican II in 1963. Now, this brings us to a perfect example of how this is going on within the evangelical world. This is the Catholic edition of the book, Invisible, written by James Robison. You guys all know who James Robison is, right? James Robison, the television evangelist, James Robison. Well, he wrote this book, Invisible, by Jay Richards, and the foreword was by Father Joseph Fezzio, and his initials on the screen at the very top are too small to see, but behind the guy's name that wrote the foreword is the initials SJ. What does that mean? Society of Jesus. He's a Jesuit. So here you have evangelical James Robison writing a book with Catholic J. Richards that is endorsed by a Jesuit. And I could show you, and Ignatius Press puts it out. Now, I could show you lots of things where you see this happening, because, again, this helps turn the evangelical church back toward Rome, but particularly the new Rome, one designed by the Jesuits that is being opposed by many traditional Catholics. On March 29, 1994, evangelicals and Catholics signed the declaration, Evangelicals and Catholics Together, the Christian Mission in the Third Millennium. And we know who was behind that largely was who? Chuck Colson, right? Chuck Colson. New York Times, March 30, 1994, wrote this. Again, this is New York Times, 1994. Quote, they toiled together in the movements against abortion and pornography, and now leading Catholics and evangelicals are asking their flocks for a remarkable leap of faith to finally accept each other as Christians. In what's being called a historic declaration, evangelicals, including Pat Robertson and Charles Colson, join with conservative Roman Catholic leaders today in urging Catholics and evangelicals to stop aggressive proselytization of each other's flocks. John White, president of Geneva College and former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, said the statement represents a, quote, triumphalist moment in American religious life after centuries of distrust. That's very interesting, because I have no problem working with my Catholic friends or even Mormons on anything related to fighting globalism, socialism, abortion, active euthanasia. You know, I had no issue promoting Glenn Beck, even though I knew he was a Mormon. I do not agree with Mormonism. It's a heresy. Mormonism is a heresy. It was really built on the back of Freemasonry. Joseph Smith stole it all from Freemasonry. That's historical fact. Go look it up. But I had no problem praising Glenn Beck when he was exposing Marxism and all these things he was doing. Welcome late to the game, Glenn. Glad you got your life cleaned up and sobered up and could join us. But I was happy to promote him and help him and promote him in something we had been doing decades before he was around. My problem was when he started using it to try to proselytize for his Mormonism and declare that we all worship the same God. I'm sorry, Glenn. And I'm sorry if this offends any of my Mormon listeners, but if you believed what I believed, you'd be an evangelical, Bible-believing, evangelical dispensationalist. And if I believed what you believed, I'd be a Mormon. Okay? So don't be offended. You know, it's ridiculous and stupid to be offended by the fact that we can point out differences between religious structures. There's a big difference between biblical Christianity and Mormonism. We don't have the Mormon Bible. Okay? We don't have the Mormon Bible. We don't have your eschatology. We don't have your beliefs. Don't be offended that we point out the obvious. That's being stupid and childish. And you can point out the difference between my Christianity and your Mormonism all day long, and I'm not going to be offended because it's not the same. Same thing is with Judaism. Same thing is true with Catholicism. Same thing is true with Hinduism and Buddhism. Let's be adults and acknowledge these are different religious structures. But the problem, however, was when Glenn Beck decided he wanted to use his movement to say we all worship the same God. I'm sorry. The Mormon God was a man of flesh and bone who evolved to become a God. That's not according to me. That's Mormon doctrine. As soon as he moved in that spiritual realm, we have a problem. Before that, we can check that at the door and be co-belligerents as Francis Schaeffer called us to do. Nothing wrong with that. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1994, evangelicals and Catholics together document stated in part this. In the exercise of these public responsibilities, there has been in recent years a growing convergence. There's that word, convergence, and cooperation between evangelicals and Catholics. We thank God for the discovery of one another in contending for a common cause. Much more important, we thank God for the discovery of one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our cooperation as citizens, as animated by our convergence as Christians, we promise one another that we will work to deepen, build upon, expand this pattern of convergence and cooperation. Now again, there are deep, deep theological differences between Catholics and evangelicals, all right? Again, you can send me all the emails you want, all the texts you want, but there's no reason to be offended by pointing out the obvious. Again, we have just 66 books, okay? We don't have the Apocrypha. We don't believe the Pope is infallible. We don't believe we have to confess to the priest. We don't believe in transubstantiation of the wafer. I mean, we don't believe in purgatory. So, I mean, let's just, again, can we please be adults about this and agree that we don't agree theologically? If you are a conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical Christian, you have a different theology than do Catholics. Now, again, my traditional Orthodox Catholic friends have a huge problem with what the Vatican has become under Pope because they don't even believe what he believes anymore. So we can all agree that there are differences and there are splinter groups. It doesn't mean we can't work together to fight Marxism and communism and globalism and active euthanasia and abortion. That's what the late Francis Schaeffer called being a co-belligerent. But I get very specific about not trying to merge into some theological kumbaya as though we don't have disagreements theologically. We do. And it's okay to state that and say, here are the boundaries for working together, and then do that. But this is the goal of the Jesuits and the Vatican Council too. And you're seeing the fruit of the Vatican Council too and the Jesuits to have a convergence of the world's religions, which includes doing this with evangelicals to turn them back to the new Rome. And I keep calling it today the new Rome, something I've not done before, because I'm trying to distinguish between what my Orthodox Catholic friends believe in and what this new Vatican and this new Pope, Pope Francis, the first Jesuit Pope, believe in, which distinguishes Malachi Martin from Pope Francis, which distinguishes Archbishop Vigano from Pope Francis on major, major issues largely related to Marxism, communism, and Freemasonry. In one respect, you know, that my Catholic friends can criticize me, but reality is you should be thanking me. You should be thanking me for joining the chorus of people like you that are disgusted by this Pope and that are trying to explain to people what's wrong with this Pope. So you could say, well, you know, I don't like the fact that House doesn't agree with my Catholic doctrine. Well, if I did, I'd be a Catholic. And if you agree with me, you'd be an evangelical. But you ought to be able to appreciate the fact that I'm nice about it. I'm reasonable about it. I'm a gentleman about it. And I'm agreeing that I can work with you on all kinds of issues. I just have to maintain my theological independence. But I'm going to join you in your cause of warning others, including other Catholics, about the snake that is Pope Francis. So appreciate the good, and let's be adults and say we can disagree theologically and still work together as co-belligerents on the issues of the day without having to get into some kind of theological ecumenical kumbaya. The evangelicals and Catholics wanted to say, in view of the large number of non-Christians in the world and the enormous challenge of our common evangelistic task, it is neither theologically legitimate nor prudent use of our resources for one Christian community to proselytize among other active adherents of another Christian community. So notice what this does, folks. Notice what this does. Are you paying attention? Because this is very important. The Jesuits being behind the Vatican Council II, lowering the walls and allowing for the evangelicals and Catholics together type document and dialogue and ecumenicalism, what that does is it neuters the evangelical church. It allows for the evangelical church to be infiltrated by Jesuits, by Jesuit theology, by liberation theology, by ecumenicalism, by which then to take down the evangelical church, which is an obstacle to the Jesuit order. Look, if the Jesuits were not a problem, you wouldn't have Archbishop Vigano warning about them. You wouldn't have former Jesuit Malachi Martin warning about them. You would not have the Massachusetts Bay Colony, making it illegal to be a Jesuit and be in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And that's a historical fact in one of my books. Go look it up. Because the Jesuits are trying to penetrate all faiths, turn them back to their brand of Catholicism that includes, among many things that we've looked at, globalism and Marxism. So, when the Jesuits, through the Vatican Council II, lower the walls and encourage both sides to come together and then sign agreements like the Vatican Council II, or Evangelicals and Catholics together, that say, we're not going to challenge each other theologically. We're going to not proselytize. Do you really think for 1 minute that the Jesuits are not proselytizing? They are. If this is like signing an agreement, signing a treaty, a military treaty of some kind, an arms control agreement with Russia, and thinking they're actually going to obey it. They're going to honor their word. They haven't. They've broken every arms treaty we've ever signed with them. That's how they're on to sixth generation warfare, and our missiles are literally rotting in the silos. They got us to agree to something they didn't follow. And they're advancing. Same thing with the Jesuits. They're trying to get evangelicals to agree to a truce, to a disarmament, to not engage in evangelism of each other while they continue to engage in evangelistic efforts to recruit Protestants to their team. But what would you expect from Jesuits? We've already read the Jesuit oath. Very much like the Islamists, they can lie to you. This is the Jesuit model. Is that coffee? Thank you, hon. She used to bring it right to the desk. Now she doesn't want to be on television, so I have to reach out far for it. So you need to understand that evangelicals and Catholics together was born out of the Jesuit goal of neutering the evangelical church from not only sharing the biblical gospel with Catholics, but also to not oppose the Jesuits. It's getting the Jesuits wearing the collar, or even if they don't wear the collar, because a lot of Jesuits just wear suits, but it's getting the evangelical to be disarmed from the Jesuits who come to you as simply, oh, I'm just a Catholic. Is Pope Francis just a Catholic? No, he's not. He's not even a good Catholic. This is, again, why the traditional Catholics are beside themselves. So this is how you neuter the Protestant church, and then you infiltrate them with, and just take Catholicism out of the picture for a minute. If it helps you to understand this better, take Catholicism out of the picture for a minute. This is how you get the Jesuits, get you under the color of Catholicism, to penetrate the evangelical world and push globalism and Marxism and environmentalism, radical, radical stuff. Go look at the Jesuits and their radical beliefs, their New Age mysticism. Remember, the founding father of the New Age movement is a Jesuit, Teilhard de Chardin. So this is a great way for them to penetrate the evangelical world with their Marxism, with their globalism, with their environmentalism, with their mysticism, with their Freemasonry. Remember, Archbishop Vigano warns about the Jesuits and Freemasonry, Marxism, and globalism. They're all tied together. But now we've just gotten the evangelical church to not oppose Marxism, Freemasonry, globalism by not opposing the Jesuits, because the Jesuits come in the name of Catholicism, and now we're not going to fight and oppose each other on the theological battlefield. No, I'm going to debate you, and any Catholic that calls in, any Mormon that calls in, I'm going to treat you with love, I'm going to treat you with respect, and I'm going to engage you in the arena of theological debate. And you can do the same for me. And if you really believe in your Catholicism and you really believe in your Mormonism and you really believe in your New Age thinking or your Islam, then you should be willing to engage me back in debate. But guess what? I do have the corner on truth. I do have the corner on truth. Because Jesus said, thy word is true. He who sent me is true. And no one agrees with me more than my former Mormon friends who are now evangelical Christians, my former Islamic friends who are now evangelical Christians, and my former Catholic friends who are now evangelical Christians. So I can engage you in friendly, gentlemanly, courteous debate theologically all day. In fact, I love doing it. But I'm not going to play kumbaya. I'll debate you, but I'm not going to play theological ecumenicalism with you. But if you want to join me, or I join you in fighting Marxism and globalism and abortion and active euthanasia, I'll do that all day long. We could be co-belligerents. But do you understand what I'm saying to you when I tell you the Jesuits are coming in the name of Catholicism and trying to get you to be disarmed? But they're really, what they're interested in is not Catholicism, because they've remade Catholicism. What they're interested, which is why the traditional Catholics are screaming and hollering. What they've done is come to you in a camouflage to offer you up socialism, Freemasonry, Marxism, globalism, social justice under the banner of Catholicism, and it's not even traditional Catholicism, which is why Archbishop Vigano and the others are warning their own followers. So, ecumenicalism. Number one. Number two, social justice and liberation theology. That's what they're into. And of course, I've told you over and over, I've got to get some of this coffee. I've told you over and over that social justice was a term created by Jesuit Luigi Tappernelli. So there we go again. Luigi Tappernelli, Jesuit, coined the phrase social justice. It's really liberation theology, Marxism mixed with so-called Christianity. This is their goal. In the Protestant world, social justice is also called the social gospel. Here is CatholicNewsAgency.com, November 20th, 2008. Jesuit Superior General says, give more time to liberation theology. Now look, here's another example. Here is a Catholic news agency warning about what the Jesuit Superior General is doing. By the way, I link to a lot of Catholic sites when it comes to some news. I link to a lot of news articles written by Catholics. Some of the best stuff out there, right, frankly, is written by Catholics. Some of the people doing some of the best work exposing all this are Catholics. So people, okay, House, he's Catholic hater. No, my Catholic friends would tell you that's not the case. But if you want to debate House on theology, plan to have a nice long dinner conversation and free up your whole evening, because he's going to go toe-to-toe with you. And it's going to be fun. But some of the best work being done out there on some of these issues is like LifeSite News. That's a Catholic website. But they're all over this stuff related to active euthanasia, the vaccine, vaccine passports. Well, here's a Catholic news agency saying the Jesuit Superior General says, give more time to liberation theology. The Superior General of the Jesuits, Father Adolf Nicholas, said this week he was disappointed that liberation theology has not received a vote of confidence, and he said the controversial approach should be given more time to mature, end quote. Well, what happened after 2008? Along came the first Jesuit Pope, Pope Francis, pushing left and right liberation theology. Number two of the eight things the Jesuits go after. But now I want to hear from you. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Phone lines open. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Agree, disagree? I'm a nice guy. Call in. All right, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Let me go back and do one more screenshot, or two more screenshots, I think will help round this out, Logan. The Society of Jesus in the United States website. This is Jesuit.org, okay? The Society of Jesus in the United States website, Jesuit.org, reported in 2012. Quote, Circle of Protection from Poverty. Reverend Tom Smolik, Society of Jesus, president of the Jesuit Conference, has signed on as a, quote, primary signatory, end quote, to a new ecumenical, look at that, new ecumenical and interfaith, quote, circle of protection statement urging the federal government to protect programs for the poor. Now, who else signed on to that? If I remember correctly, a bunch of guys with the National Association of Evangelicals signed on to the circle of protection, urging the government not to do anything in cutting the welfare state. Well, why not? Because the welfare state is socialism. It's the economic philosophy of Karl Marx. And who's pushing it? A Jesuit. And how is he doing it? What's he doing it through? Ecumenical and interfaith circle of protection. Do you see what I'm telling you? This is using religion, using religious names. It's exactly what Catholic, listen to what I'm just telling you, Catholic Bella Dodge, she was a communist, left communism, and I'm pretty sure she became a Catholic, if my memory serves me. And she said the communists are taking all the pretty religious words. They're taking them all. But they don't mean what you mean. And so they deliberately use religion, the Jesuits do, religion as the camouflage to penetrate the religions of the world, particularly the evangelical Protestant world, so they can turn them to join them in calling for socialism, social justice, globalism, and they'll use ecumenicalism and interfaith to do it, just as the Jesuit website in 2012 reported. Let's just end with that, because I want to go to your calls. Tomorrow I'll pick it up with Carney. Francis Carney, one of the most radical Marxist Jesuits ever born. Let's go to George in Illinois. George, line one. Thanks for calling in, George.
Yes, the serpent reproduces after its own kind, and basically that's what Jesus was talking about. Constantine was not a Jesuit, but he was a sun god worshiper, and he came against Jesus Christ and his church and basically went with all the sun holidays and said, we're going to Christianize them, and it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a history that a lot of people don't know and how a lot of this happened, and I appreciate your calls always, George. We have a phone line open now, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Ken in Arkansas. Ken, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, hey, I have to agree to disagree with you, Brandon, on that white evangelicals not having the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. If you study the Council of Trent, you will find out that the Protestants lost in that council because they keep the Sunday for their day of worship, and that is a Roman Catholic doctrine alone. Now, as far as the Jesuits are concerned, you're correct in your analysis, but you're playing right into their hands. That's exactly what they want you to say. I've been following you now for some time and listening to Vigano's statements. And Vigano is doing exactly the work of the Jesuits himself. He's playing both ends against the middle, and that's the Hegelian dialectic, as you and I well know.
Right. But how do you know Vigano is not, like Malachi Martin, is not sincere?
Well, I have Malachi Martin's book here on the Jesuits. I don't know if you've ever read it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've read it. Quote from it all the time.
Yeah, The Society of Jesus and the Betrayal of the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
I've been following Malachi Martin ever since The Keys to This Blood.
That's right. That's right.
And produced back in the early 90s.
Exactly. So you believe Malachi Martin was sincere?
In some aspects, he's not totally truthful. Because for him to do so would be to betray his oath to the Jesuits. And as you well know,
yeah, we went through the oath.
Blood oath.
Yeah, we went through the blood oath. But you believe that Malachi Martin, for the most part, though, was being sincere and often offering up sincere warnings, right? Malachi
yes.
Martin.
Yes,
okay.
I do.
So
as
how
well
do we know
Roberto Rivera?
Okay, so how do we know Vigano is not offering up sincere warnings as well?
Well, he may be offering up some sincere warnings, but he is a soldier of the Pope.
No, he is not a soldier of this Pope. He makes that very clear.
He may not agree with this Pope, but the underlying truth of the fact is that Vigano is a Catholic priest.
True, he is.
He's not a Jesuit, but he's a Catholic priest.
Right.
And all Catholic priests answer to the Pope.
They do, but this guy
is a Jesuit.
That's right. And this is the guy that's warning you that this guy is a snake. He talks about the smoke of Satan coming out of the Vatican. He is calling
this.
I mean, he's is about as clear. So what I'm trying to say to you is he obviously would fall in line with maybe Pope John Paul II and others, but he is the one that is saying, don't forget, the Jesuits killed some popes. So this Vigano is definitely Catholic, but he is opposed to the Jesuit Pope and Freemasonry and globalism, and there's hardly anything in that 90 minutes we played where he talks about non-theological issues. On the non-theological issues, there's hardly anything he says that we would not agree with, and he's warning people, the same way Malachi Martin is. But I appreciate your call. So what I'm trying to say to you is, just as you believe that Malachi Martin was being sincere in his warning, I believe Vigano is probably sincere in his warning. I have no reason not to. Now, Ken, does that mean I don't want to continue listening and watching to make sure he's not playing the Hegelian dialectic? Absolutely. But here's the thing. What he's warning about are legitimate things. It's like someone warning you about a train is coming and your car is stalled on the track. That's true. A train is coming, your car is stalled, and you're going to die if you don't get out of the car. So Vigano is offering up legitimate warnings about legitimate things. And that is a good thing. Now, we'll see what his motivation is. Now, as far as your first comment, Sunday, the day of worship, has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. We go to church on Sunday because we're following the examples of the disciples. After the resurrection, go to the scriptures, and I can bring you in the scriptures tomorrow. But we see the disciples who become the apostles, who lay down the foundational doctrine of the church, doing what? Meeting on the first day of the week. Meeting on the day of the resurrection. So the Catholic Church had nothing to do with picking the day that we go to church. But I sure love your call. Thank you, Ken. All right, guys, see you tonight. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.